Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wehhunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wehhunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wehhunt the Barbarian. Welcome to the Space Age Bachelor Pad and our new blog talk radio show, Von Wehhunt and the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, with an epic retro encore episode number 6 tonight. We have a star date of October 5th, 2021. Can you believe it's already fall? Where in the hell did that summer go, huh? And tonight is, again, a very special night. I welcome you into the Bachelor's Den America. So enter at your own risk. You will love it. This is our fun show once a month, the first Tuesday of each month. Now, any first-time caller, we will get in front of everyone else. We know there's lots of people out there tonight, lots of listeners in the tens of thousands, if not millions. The guest call-in line is 563-999-3437. That's your VIP call-in line. We have many lines here at our switchboard to get you live and on the show. So get your cocktails ready, gents. At the start of each show, we normally go to our tiki bar and mix a few drinks before the night's festivities. Tonight is no different than any other. I raise my goblet of wine and my stein of beer to all of you tonight. I salute you all out there, whether you're single or married or dating. I am wearing my red velvet smoking jacket with cigar in hand, mafioso style, and we are ready to rock and roll as always. So welcome. We have a lot of new listeners to the show. A lot of people who listen to our Thursday show, which will again be this Thursday. Now, that's our hard-hitting political commentary show. And that is the Radio Octagon. But this show is not the Radio Octagon. This show is the college fraternity big-time frat party on the radio. We are the new pharaohs, if you will, of the land. This is our new radio show. And this is our epic episode 6 going forward. And the theme tonight, my friends, is long live the Bachelor King. You are a king out there. The Bachelors of America are the elite, the tip of the spear, if you will. Nothing wrong with getting married and settling down and doing things of that nature. But you will learn much, young butterfly, young Jedi Knight, on the show. You will hear smart men from all over the world. And ladies, you're always welcome to chime in. Women always ask me, why don't you have a show for us? Well, I say, walk into any bookstore, turn on any television set in America. All there is are shows and books and tapes catering to women. America loves catering to women. America does not like catering to the man. And that's why I invented the show. It's one of the few vehicles and platforms you have, boys, to air your grievances or talk about your successes, your conquests in business or with women in society at large. We have very few vehicles to toot our own horn, as they say, but this show is one of them. Let the show span 1,000 years, as the Bachelor Kingdom is reborn in America and around the world. Not against marriage or raising kids or having a family, but the premise of the show is that more men will be bachelors for more adult years than married years is the premise of the show. Thus, they need to be schooled and educated in the Jedi ways of the Bachelor. They need to be schooled in the Jedi arts, if you will. Now, the next Bachelor show, people are already asking about episode number 7. Well, let's first get through number 6 tonight. Episode 7, of course, is the first Tuesday of November. Don't miss it. And this Thursday, we'll have again our political talk show. Now, in the military, many of the troops go through a course called SEER, which stands for Survive, Evade, Resist, and Escape. This is what the Marine Corps teaches young men, and you should learn this. Again, SEER training in the military is Survive, Evade, Resist, and Escape. This is exactly where the Bachelor is in America today. You need to survive, evade capture, resist the enemy, and escape if you need to fight yet another day. And yes, on the last show, we talked about the married men who had their honey-do list. Well, that is what they have to do while we live well. We don't have a honey-do list. We are having fun. And the Bachelor has much better things planned anyway for our very lives. We got through a hot summer. We got through Labor Day. And by the way, Arizona, where I broadcast from in the mountains, from my bachelor's den, stronghold, had one of the hottest summers ever, I believe. But this show is based on my book, my hit book, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, the retro and modern-day bachelor guide for the new Renaissance man of the millennium and beyond. Get your copy today. You can walk into any Barnes & Noble, and you can order it right from the cash register. So I tried to the other day. I was testing the system, and it works fine. The book is online. It's on eBay. And if you want, contact me at the show, and I can meet you and give you an autographed copy, of course, if you buy the book, and we can meet sometime to do that as well. Of course, you have to fly to Phoenix, but many of you already come out here during the winter anyway, buy the book, and we'll meet up at a resort cocktail lounge or something, and I'll sign the book for you, and we'll chat for a bit. We might even make you a regular on the show, God forbid. Love that. And now, once again, it's time for our Animal House Fraternity Pledge.
I state your name.
I state your name.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
With liberty and fraternity for all.
Amen.
Sergeant at Arms, do your duty.
Now on your Delta Tau Chi name is Weasel. Now on your name is Mothball. Kroger, your Delta Tau Chi name is Pinto.
Why Pinto?
Why not?
What's my Delta Tau Chi name?
Dorfman, you've given this a lot of thought. From now on, your name is Flounder.
Flounder?
We now consecrate the bond of obedience. Assume the position.
Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Yes, you must have the fraternity pledge before every show. I went to Purdue University. I wanted to hit them all. I hit the dorms, I hit the fraternities, and I hit the off-campus lifestyle. Loved them all. A man recently wrote this about my book. I found this on Amazon. He goes, one can learn so much from this ultimate bachelor's guide. It is a well-organized, well-written comical book for anyone and everyone. As I turned the pages, I couldn't keep myself from smiling and laughing. It was quite amusing how I discovered characteristics of my male friends lying right in the text of the book. After reading it, I felt it was a perfect gift for my older brother who recently turned 21. This book, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, really got me interested in a lot of things. It's multifaceted. I myself am in comedy. I attended a comedy club for the first time, and I loved it just as I loved the book. I recommend the book for both men and women of all ages. Yes. Wow, what a testament that is. Great testimonial. And I have more, but we'll get to that. A bachelor is someone who isn't married right now. This may be by default if you just haven't found the right partner yet, or life partner, as they call it. Or it may be by choice. Either way, it's good. All good, as they say. A bachelor's life can be fulfilling and interesting, provided you don't feel that not being part of a couple is causing you to miss out on enjoying life. Never feel that way, guys. Never, ever. I know we live in what I call, in my book, a couple's world. Isn't it table for two? Double occupancy? Buy one, get one free? You know, don't you see these, I always kind of cringe when I see these, a lot of, well, you see the young guys too, but the middle age and the older men, and they'll be introducing their wife, and hey, it's almost like, I don't know what it is, that they all go to married school, and every married guy says, oh, this is my better half. Thank you, lovey dear. It's always their better half, right? Why aren't you the better half? Why aren't you the man, the better half? Why does your wife have to be the better half? Why is it automatically you self-deprecate with that type of humor? Because I'll tell you why. A lot of you American men are dumbed down. You forgot what it's like to be a man. You forgot. When you got married, you gave your balls and your mind to your wife, who put them snugly in her little purse, and she snapped it shut. And then she told you, well, you're on a sex diet, big boy, and I'll give it to you when I feel like it. How about those apples? And by the way, here's a honey-do list. I want you to do this and this and this. You're now mine. I own you, and I am your better half. And don't you ever forget it. And that, my friends, is how most marriages start. After the honeymoon and the ring, and the man comes home and thinks he's done society this wonderful favor. He's now a married man. In fact, he's married, and it's the building block of society. He's one of the building blocks, they call it. Kids in tow are around the corner. The second or third dog is coming too. Well, I love dogs, so have all you want there. But the man gets a rude awakening when his little missus, his little angel, turns on him. Now, women don't always mean it in a demonic way. Well, maybe some of them do. But I always say this. I believe as long as you follow the American foreign policy, where we do not, as men, negotiate with terrorists. That is the long-standing position of the United States of America. So if you're dating a woman out there, boys, and if she's a terrorist, she gives you terroristic threats, like, you better marry me or else, or you better do my bidding, or you're not going to get any Saturday night. You're living with a terrorist, whether you know it or not. And on my show, we do not negotiate with terrorists. It's time for you to man up, step up to the plate, and say next. Get the concept of next in your mind, the next better paying job, the next better woman, ones that I want, ones that are better, ones that maybe even put out to me on demand. How about those apples? None of these sex games, none of these things of that nature. Stop being manipulated, guys. Stop having your little angel lead you around by the nose. Oh, American women are trained that you are the better half. And you as a man, You are taught that by getting married, she's the prize. Why, having her is the prize. The golden calf brought down by, you know, Moses and them back in the day when Moses chastised them for bringing down the golden calf from the mountain. And he had the real word of God, you know, in the tablets. It's biblical. It's biblical. Women are well-meaning, but I've always said if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. And you can take that any way you want. This show is kind of racy. It's offensive to some. If it is, turn the channel and go back to watching your cooking show. You have no business being on my radio airwaves clogging the information superhighway tonight. You have no business being in the way of young bachelors who are trying to get in, trying to get the bandwidth, trying to hear the live show, the live feed. And by the way, many of them who miss it call me and email me, and I always tell them, you're in luck, young Jedi Knight. Guess what? It's called I Have a Podcast. You can go to the site and hear all you want. And boy, are they glad. Some people aren't very good at navigating the web. Or I will send them the link, and they're so happy. Because wait till I share this to my friends on campus. They'll laugh their ass off, and they'll learn a lot, too. And I go, that's right. Women today in America are not the women of my mom's generation or yours. I'm not saying it's just a different flavor. It's like Baskin-Robbins, right? 30 wonderful flavors. Maybe it's 33 now, but they keep changing. Anyway, the bottom line is this, is that women today are different. Many are tatted up. Many have baggage. They have credit card debt. They're looking for you boys to bail them out. So maybe she isn't educated. Maybe she is. Maybe she's a bitch. Maybe she's an angel. Whatever. We'll talk about all of that tonight. We love women on the show. We only kid them because they're always kidding us. And we love women, but we also realize that as a man about town, the bachelor, we have those street smarts, those mafioso street smarts that you only get with experience. We have no illusions to women. We have, though we like them, we dig them, we want to be around them. We also realize that women can be dangerous to your pocketbook, dangerous sometimes. They are the dream killers of society. You go, what do you mean by that? Well, have any idea? Do you have a business idea? Do you have a dream? And the worst thing men do is they go to a woman and they go, what do you think, honey? What do you think? And the woman always shoots it down. I'll tell you why. Because in her mind, you're not spending money on me and my future family. And I don't know what it is, but out here they call it fambly with a B. There's no B there. But anyway, I'll do it for a fun. So anyway, you're not saving money for us in the future family. You want to spend money on a new business venture that, again, goes completely against her nesting philosophy. She would rather nest with you and spend your money and on your future family. And then she wants you to put that money into a college fund. But you want to go buy a piece of land and develop it. You want to build a building. Men tend to be the builders. Women tend to be the spenders of society. We see this today even in our own government with Pelosi wanting to spend $6-8 trillion. And Biden is her bitch boy accomplice again. But we as bachelors see through all these facades. And so we realize at a very early age that we have to navigate this minefield very, very carefully. Because sometimes in life, like I always say, sometimes they really are out to get you. And with that, let's start the infamous show.
Sipping lemonade, they get you at the flicks, though the world may call them chicks. cut your short. Cause kidding you is just their favorite indoor, outdoor sport. They get you in a mink, off the deep end in the drink. Female, female, they're the ambushers. Blonde and a brunette lie in wait like engines in the grass. You're coming through the pass. Then Buster, your General Custer. They get you with a hey.
Hey!
They get you in disguise. They get you with their lips, their hips, and their smile, their style, their eyes. They get you cheek to cheek, down the aisle and up the creek. In chase, next cake, well, they're the ambushers.
Oh, yes. Just love that. So, gentlemen out there, pirates, rat pack bastards, worldwide, all over the nation, tonight, put your best red velvet smoking jacket on. Light up your cigar or pipe with your favorite vintage and cool lighter. During these songs and promos, enjoy them. That's always a great time to mix your next cocktail, boys. Get the cufflinks ready. Wear your favorite leather loafers and slippers and slick back that hair retro Goodfellas style with your favorite manly numero uno cologne. As we delve into the Bachelor universe tonight and galactic cosmos with wild abandon, God, we're going to have a great time tonight, as always. Now, this show is very legendary. This show is very unique. Guys always say, there's not a platform. Where do we go, Vaughn? Where do we go to have a good time? Where do we go to have, you know, some drinks and cocktails and maybe smoke a cigar and have a shot or two and maybe a woman by my side and feel like a real man once in a while? Well, this is the show for you. This is the platform that I designed for you. I've been doing lots of marketing during the week, telling lots of people and talk shows and other people, trying to launch the show on even a larger scale. And right now in America, you know, being a bachelor is kind of, they view it as kind of, ooh, it's rogue. We're the rogue bachelor, maybe even evil, maybe even on the dark side occasionally, So if you're not married with children, if you're not compliant wearing the mask and taking the vaccine, you're seen as a rebel. We're seen as the rebels in society. Most bachelors don't believe in anything on TV anymore. We all know the news is fake. We all know it's a lot of crazy things are being said. We want to have a good time. We want to have fun. We want to be aware of what's going on, but we don't want to live in it 24/7. And be mesmerized by fake news and things of that nature. Now, women always say they want a real man. They want a real man, right? Where's all the real men in America? I always hear this everywhere I go. So whether she is blonde, brunette, or a redhead, it's all good to us in the Bachelor's Den, boys, right? But I would say this to the women. Where's all the real women? I mean, let's be, if we're talking turkey here, let's talk straight up. Like a good shot of your favorite liqueur. Women have fake eyelashes, fake boobs, fake noses, plastic surgery. Okay. Come on, the list goes on and on and on. Yet they want a real man. Where's the real women? So the real women are doctored up a little bit. Now, in our past episodes, we have talked about a lot of things. Now, this also is not a show that says men are always great. This is not, we bash both sides equally. I'm the equal opportunity offender. As I've always said, we don't target any one group. We just talk about everything in general. Everything is always on the table, always men. Now, I told you some things last week that I want you to know. For example, and I'm going to drive this home even more. I told you in in Mexico and the Hispanic countries, the one thing they say whenever I used to travel down there was, Señor, Señor Vaughn, ¿cómo estás? Mucho gusto. Señor, I will tell you, no money, no honey. That's right, guys. They'll always say, no money, no honey. Those guys, the Mexican guys, know. The Ricos know. If you have any money, the women scram. Okay, it's just the law of nature. Women, well, even back in caveman days, always went to the guy that had the cave or the better cave or the more fortified cave with some beef in there, some beef jerky and some food and a nice warm fire. Okay, maybe even the first caveman bar. All right, so he had some money. He had some better stones, a better cave, while the other guys, the other cavemen were outside trying to get inside his cave. He has guards outside. This was the first country that was developed. It was in the caves. And he had the women. He had the women. Women like to be warm and a nice warm fire for him. So never forget that, guys. No money, no honey. Women want to have a good time. I can't blame them. Because really, if you look at a woman, they know that their shelf life is short. They know that their shelf life is about from, let's say, the legal age of 18 to about 35-ish. That's their reign of glory. That's when she's young, vivacious, and hot. Before that, she was in high school. She was the hot 15, 16-year-old girl when you were the hot, you know, the young buck when you were the 16-year-old guy. But let's just say, for argument's sake, 18 to 35, and they know after 35, things start to sag a little bit. They don't look quite their age. Now, there's a lot of beautiful women, especially out west. They're in their 40s and even early to mid-50s. They keep themselves up very well out here. I think it's the dry climate where they're better preserved, to put it that way. But it is true. So women know they have to go for the gusto quickly. They don't have time to dilly-dally around. They are kind of like a taxi or an Uber where the meter is always running, boys. So don't waste her time, and hopefully she won't waste yours or your money. Well, we will get some calls in tonight as well. Again, 563-999-3437. If you've just tuned in, you have reached the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy.
Hold everything, folks. We're going to give you some pointers. The real lowdown on some basic facts of married life. A guide for the married man.
Boy, oh boy.
Now, you see, Walter Matthau is married to Inger Stevens, but he develops a roving eye. The guy's got to be off his rocker to rove on a dish like this. So he goes to Robert Morse, Ph.D., doctor of philandering, for some lessons.
Do all married guys do it, Ed?
Not all of them give in to it, only about 43%, which I think is about to go up to 44.
And would you believe, all of these technical advisors give the do's and don'ts for the married man with an urge to stray. Lucille Ball, Jack Benny, Polly Bergen, Joey Bishop, Sid Caesar, Art Carney, Wally Cox, Jane Mansfield, Al March, Louis Nye, Carl Reiner, Bill Silvers, Terry Thomas, and Ben Blue. Girls, don't let your favorite fellows see this film alone.
He'd never get away with it, would he?
What was Sid Caesar's plan of action? How does Joey Bishop talk his way out of this? What did Art Carney just put over on Lucille Ball? How does a movie star steal a night out? How does Jack Benny operate?
Say, honey, what do you think we could get for this from a secondhand shop?
You can't top Phil Silver's instant alibi.
Oh, you were wearing one?
What kind of a girl do you think I am? Of course I was.
Yes. In my book, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy needs to be on every college campus and frat house in America, and on every man's bookshelf. As you watch the fake news guys, they're always trying to demoralize you and depress you. Don't let them. Don't let these turkeys get you down. They're just people that have claptraps that are on the TV. Don't even listen to those guys. We're going to laugh in their face. This is a show where you should be drinking by and now have a few cocktails like I have here at my desk and my studio and have a bottle next to you, next to my 45 in case we're raided by the feds. They don't want this information getting out to you guys. They don't want you guys to think for yourself. They don't want you to think about anything but them and their predictive programming, their MK Ultra brainwashing of the young men in America. Why, they want you to fight more of their stupid wars for profit. They want you to sign up. They want you to not think for yourself, to not carve out your own path. And that's why the show is dangerous, very roguish, very dangerous indeed. Oh, my God, I can hear them now. Who the hell is this guy, Von Weehunt? He's telling these boys to think for themselves. My God, we can't have that, can we? Can't have that. Got to change that. That's why the show has consistently had electronic harassment ever since I aired my debut show at KFNX in Phoenix, Arizona. Sparks would fly literally from the studio board. Only, I repeat, during my show. Nobody else's. The shows went by without a hitch all day long. Until I went on the air and then all hell broke loose. Planet X, they say, we talked about that, has the hot blonde. I want to go to Planet X. Yes, if I was to leave the Earth, we want to go to Planet X. Dating is toxic. We talked about that before, but you must win the game. And, you know, people always say, well, I will back up for a moment and say this, that getting married and having kids is the easiest path you can follow. Let me explain. Because we have a couple society, table for two, double occupancy. People think in twos in America. They don't think in ones. And that's good. We need good families. We are for the strong family. A lot of guys talk a big, big game, and women too, but they're going to end up getting married, and they should. If you find the right person, I say go for it. Go for it. But not for everyone. The problem with marriage is it's a one-size-fits-all mentality. And it is the easier road because if you get married, it's easier to exist in society. What I mean by that is that everyone's going to applaud you for making the commitment to get married. Your boss will applaud you. Society will think you're wonderful. I was talking to a friend of mine earlier tonight about this before the show. They will think that everything is great with you. You're going to appear normal to society. You're always going to have someone to eat dinner with, someone to go to the movies with. In many ways, it's easier, though there's a lot of pitfalls there as well. The marriage could go south on you. Kids today cost in their lifetime from birth to age 18 about $350,000 plus in counting. But you don't care about that because some of you guys are going to be family men. And that's a good thing. We need that in our society as well. But the bachelor path is the rocky road. It is the curvy road up the mountain, if you will. It is the detour in life that many men opt for. It is a life of adventure. It is very much like James Bond 007, cloak and dagger, covert intrigue. We live on the edges of society. We live next to married couples with children. We live next to people who are always talking about their kids. I love that South Park episode where Cartman always goes, he acts like the Hispanic teacher, and he goes, how do we reach these kids? So my point is that everywhere you go, everyone's talking about their kids and the Pampers they've just bought from the store and all the baby formula, and you hear all this all day long. The bachelor doesn't live in that world, but he lives in a different world. But at the same time, as a bachelor, you need to be very cool with people with kids because if you say that you're not for family, and you need to be family-oriented even if you're a bachelor, if you say you're not for their kids or things of that nature, people get very emotional and they take it personally and they'll hold a grudge against you. And that's what you don't want in business or anything. So really, that's what I always say. It's called a stealth bachelor. If you're a bachelor, keep it to yourself. People might think you're a widower or recently divorced. None of their business what you're doing. Some of you are bachelors for life. Some are going to get married. The bottom line is, in our society, people are very in tune. Most people are family-oriented, and that's a good thing to be. I, myself, am family-oriented. That's really the way to go because, especially in anything in business, most people are married. Most of your customers are married or were married at one time. We don't get up on our soapbox and talk about bachelordom except for this show because we realize that it flies in the face of the vast majority of society. Now, one would say society is wrong, society is effed up. Of course they are, but again, in business and things of that nature, I'm just saying, boy, that you'll get a lot farther in life when you kind of play both sides of the fence against the middle. Because if you're a stealth bachelor, you need to realize that most people, whether they admit it or not, have a deep desire to get married to find that special someone. Women especially do not understand the bachelor because they think that I am the prize. Why aren't I been taught in America I'm the prize? Why aren't men tripping over themselves to get to me? Aren't I so wonderful? Don't men want to live with me 24/7? Aren't they all in line to meet up with me? And so there's a lot of programming that's going on out of there. As a bachelor, my best analogy is, we like to rent women, not buy them. So you've always heard the axiom, why buy the cow if the milk is free? Well, that is probably the bottom line to the bachelor philosophy. We like to rent them, in other words, date them, have fun. When it gets super serious, if she's not the one for you, then you need to move on because there's nothing worse than forcing a situation where one doesn't need to be forced. And there's a lot of women. I've had lots of great girlfriends in my own life, but there was only a few that I even considered. The huge climbing the mountain to the pinnacle of even considering remotely marriage with one or two of them. But you've also got to notice the red flags. And nothing's perfect in life, but I say follow your gut, follow your instinct. If your mind is telling you not to do something, then by all means, do not do it. F society, do what you want to do, be free. That's what America, we fought a war over this, to be free. Remember, it's life, liberty, and your personal pursuit of happiness is enshrined in our U.S. Constitution, boys. So you need to be thinking about that. It's your pursuit of your own happiness. Some guys find happiness in marriage, and some do not. And with that, enough said, let's get right to the phones, and let's get right to the Irish pirate, our tech wizard, who, by the way, sent me some fantastic fun facts. Hello, Irish. How are you doing, sir?
Well, I noticed you got one of them in because you already played the one, and I'm very happy that you did. That was originally not so good of a Hollywood distribution of that thing, and I must have done at least 9 crossovers on it to speed up the humor, and I didn't realize
that. Yes, you
so
cleaned it up
show,
well.
So I'm really happy about that because you never know. Sometimes
yes,
you're
me
just
too.
Kind of guessing. I think this is supposed to go so, and I guess that's kind of true to bachelorhood anyway, is that you got to make brash decisions an awful lot of the time. And that's where I'm at currently. I'm sure my popularity has switched a little bit where I've gone from the single dad who is out there at the whim of governments and women lying to governments and things like that to now where I have a – And I'm going to say this in the funniest way because I was in Scottsdale getting surgery. And when I walked out, you know, it's like at least in this surgery, I finally got myself a permanent girlfriend. And I'm waiting for everybody to yell at me about that word girlfriend. But this one Scottsdale blonde looked over and she goes like, "You mean permanent?" And I start laughing. I go like, I didn't think that word was that serious. So I looked at her, I go, "Yes, lady, permanent." And so it was just one of the most interesting conversations I ever had.
Bravo. Yes,
so,
love that.
I am happy to be in that mode, and I am happy to, you know, when I actually meet a woman who has the value set that I really needed as a man, because as you know, on both your shows, I tend to be the one that's actually quoting the Bible for whatever it says in case anybody has a question. And I've met a woman actually that when I bring up the question, she already knows, you know, the answer like 70% of the time. For my own question.
That's awesome.
And then on top of, yeah, I need that. Plus, my IQ is about 140. Hers is about 160. So she can actually make me look dumb sometimes, which I need. I've been able to get away with it for decade after decade. But finally, no, I'm
right.
Happy with the fact that I did create a bachelor pad. And I told you on this show that the woman that I would attract would be more independent, that. And I'll quote that stat again, of higher education, 63% of those receiving degrees are women now. And some guy is going to have to step up to the plate because an awful lot of those women didn't have time to start a family. They went straight to college and wanted to, you know, make them something of themselves. And so now the guy has to match that. And I think that's part of what bachelorhood is all about. I'm saving myself for the woman out there that can do all these things that I really want done. I remember a comedian once said that his ideal woman was Dr. Ruth Westheimer, the sex doctor. And they had questions like, why?
Right.
She's not very good looking. He goes, yeah, but she knows how to do things, okay? And so to each their own. I say that a woman who has a lot of skills can go a long way. And on top of that,
sure,
you're still going to get the benefits of her being the woman. And the best setup for this is to be your own man. You're never going to be able to attract a woman who is her own woman if you're not your own man. The moment she knows you're dependent on her, I think it's too vulnerable. You're probably going to get cut off quick. You're going to end up in that treadmill where you're following.
I totally agree with
that. You're done.
Right.
So
women know then
that
you're toast.
Right,
you are done. You're right. And you got to be a real man. And women like real men who know where they're going in life, guys. Know where you're going, and she will follow you. Trust me.
And or make yourself available, knowing that you're flexible enough, because that's what's working in my current relationship. I'm flexible enough. She needs help. In this case, she works at home. Also, her landlord is not a nice guy. So I came up with a solution. I took out one of my furniture apparatuses, and I'm going to put in a desk where she could work at if she wants to during the day instead of at her place, making her much more available that evening. So I like it. I'm going to do that. I'm actually going to spend the money.
Nice.
I made the room. I'm going to do it because that's what a bachelor can do. It's still laid back. I mean, where I'm going to put that desk is just like two steps away from my joust machine, you know, and about five steps away from my loud blasting musical computer. And so, yeah, it'll still be the environment that I created, but I can create that environment. And I'm hoping that any woman that is out there, and especially the one I want to keep, is going to appreciate that environment. And I can create that because I have that bachelor idea in mind, which you and I originally said we're probably going to have to outlive them, because if they're just not going to get it, then we're going to have a problem. We're going to have to wait until maybe we're in our, you know, 60s or 70s or something to actually start a relationship if they're not going to get it. But luckily, I found someone intelligent enough, they weren't willing to wait that late. And I think I was part of the problem when I was younger. That probably the one woman that probably got me the most in trouble, she was at the time 36. And she was thinking her biological clock was running out, just like you were talking about. And I wish she hadn't have done that.
Yes.
I wish she had just played the game straight and not been manipulative, because she was worried that she wasn't a good enough catch or whatever it is that she had going in her lack of a mind at that time. Because clearly fear is not going to cut it, not in the bachelor world, and certainly not in the married world these days. I mean, you're going to have to face a lot of difficulties, and we'll discuss those more on the Thursday show, because most of them are political. But there are a lot of economic, there are a lot of social issues that are happening now. I see the breakdown anymore of married life being normal. They're trying to strike down on that, and I find that scary. That there is no decent environment anymore to raise children. And, oh, by the way, Von Wiehunt, I am being invited back into schools. That's official as of today.
Good. Congratulations.
I have been cleared. I've gotten through all those weird hurdles, and they didn't put a noose around my neck. So I'm going to make my entry as an independent, and only a couple people know when that's going to be, and that's when I do it, I'll officially announce I've done it. But I'm very happy with, and I think my bachelor pad had a lot to do with that. I had to wait how long, from March 2020 until now, to be able to do what I think I want to do in society. And I don't even want to do mm-hmm. that for a living. I just want to help children. I want to be able to, well, tell government officials where to go, how to get there. And, you know, when I lower them down into hell in their handbasket, I'm sure they'll be smiling. But... unfortunately, this is the battle we must fight, and we have the values. We have, especially men in America who understand where we've been, we're up on history, we're up on these things. We realize why men were in charge in the past, because number one, we were expendable. The women were worth keeping, and so we didn't send them to the front lines. But now,
that's right.
The women are not worth keeping. Maybe they should send them to the front lines. But
exactly my point, right? And they want to go to the front lines. We'll let the women fight the next wars, and then what we'll say when they get defeated, we'll say, it's no big deal, Iran. You just beat a bunch of women. How about those apples?
Well,
it's no big deal, China or Russia. You meet a bunch of chicks. You're a bunch of wussy soldiers. We'll kick your now the men step up. Now we'll really kick your ass. Go ahead, man.
Well, I was going to say, on one of your very, very early Thursday shows in the day, we were considering doing things like a bachelor show, and we were going off on feminists. And one of my most provocative statements back then that made you wonder whether or not I was truly a Christian, I said, well, I do like to kneel down in front of feminists. And you said, what? And I said, because I'm trying to look up her dress. But
I agree with that. Anyway. Exactly. Right.
Yeah. I mean, if she's not offering me anything else but that, I want to see it. That's my claim.
Right.
But thankfully,
exactly.
I built my bachelor pad. I built my academia. I built my patience even. And hopefully that will pay off in spades. And I encourage other men out there, if you're thinking there's no hope whatsoever, keep the bachelor pad. Keep the bachelor mindset if that's all you got. Find God and hold fast. That's the best advice I could give anyone.
God, love that, Irish. Thank you, man. Thank you so much. Irish Pirate folks, great call as always. And he's right. I mean, you got to have the right politics. Today, in our complicated world, it is so cumbersome out there. It's like The Bachelor is like a soldier on D-Day. We just stormed the beaches of Normandy, and now we have a rifle, and now you have to walk the minefield that the German Wehrmacht, the Third Reich, set up after you landed, got up the mountain. Now you got the landmines for about a couple of miles. And so that's how I've always viewed living in this matrix, in this American world, is that you got to walk that minefield and not get blown up, boys. You got to be careful out there. And if you find a girl, great, that what can really make or break things are religion and politics and money. Now, they always say, don't talk about those things. Just be polite. Well, BS on that. You need to go down those rabbit holes. If you're serious with a girl at any level, at some point, you need to know her politics. You need to know her religion. And you need to know how you or her or jointly will handle money. Because those three things are going to be thorns in your side if you don't adhere to them. I'm telling you, I'm warning you, I'm begging you, I'm pleading you that you need to have those conversations. Too many of you guys are smitten with my love, and you're too young and inexperienced. I'll be blunt, and you will fall for the first chicky babe that bats her eyelashes at you. And she knows it, and you know it, and the American people know it. And off down the marriage aisle you go, like sheep to slaughter. And within 5 to 7 years, if not sooner, you're divorced with 1 to 2.2 kids in America. You now have child support to pay, and the courts will be very draconian and get money out of you. They will beat it out of you like blood from a rock, and they will get it because you will pay it. And off you go. In many ways, marriage in today's society, and I'll be very blunt because my show is blunt, is a man takes a vow of poverty. Let me explain. When a man marries, not only does he have to buy the ring, he buys the honeymoon. Oftentimes here, he'll have to chip in the majority or if not all of the wedding. The woman's along for the ride in many, many, many cases. Does she contribute anything other than her sexuality or her presence? Not always. So my thing is the man's got a huge fiscal, financial money investment in this thing. It's a legal thing. That's what I mean, men take a vow of poverty. Because if anything goes south on you, if little Miss Daisy bats her eyelashes at you one day and says, I'm not happy, and folds her arms, most of you men just melt and cringe. And then she says, I don't want to talk to you anymore, but Mr. Goldstein, my attorney, wants to talk to you. And off she goes to divorce court. And now you're down the yellow brick road. Your whole marriage is like the burning of Rome. And there you are, broke, impoverished, kicked out of your house, living in some little one-bedroom flat or some ghetto apartment in central Dallas or central Phoenix or some big city, Los Angeles, or you could be in small-town America. And you're screwed, blued, and tattooed, as they say. Well, you don't need to live like that, boys. You can live better. You can live the bachelor dream with my book, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. Don't be a victim. Speak up for your rights. Know where you stand. And my book will help you with all of that. You need to read it. It's a big book, like the galaxy, but it's easy to read. Read a few pages every night before you go to bed. Let it go deep into your subconscious. And within a few months, we'll have the whole book read. We'll get to some more calls here in a minute. Paul the Gladiator is up next. But boys, you're always out there looking for the foxes. Is she the fox on the run? I think she is. Let's hope anyway. Oh, yeah. Is she a fox on the run? You damn right she is. Now, is it caveman style or is it the digital Playboy era? Your call, gents. The Bachelor in post-COVID America. What's that all about? The making, as Irish said, of the Bachelor pad. I highly encourage it. My entire home and studio is nothing but a Bachelor pad. And if you're buying your first home, guys, think of your first real Bachelor pad. Fix it up. Decorate it. Nothing wrong with that. Make it look cool. Make it look manly. Your entire place is your man cave. I often find it funny that when people get married, the women relegate the men to the dirtiest two places of the house, the garage or the backyard, if you notice. While the women rule the roost in America, in most Western societies, she'll rule the roost and she'll have all the inside to herself. Every square inch of the wall, she must approve any picture going up. The queen bee must be satisfied. You know what they say, boys? It's cheaper to keep her. And, you know, if your wife is happy, you'll have a happy life. Happy wife, happy life, things of that nature. So you're relegated to the backyard with the insects, ticks and sugars, and mosquitoes, if you're lucky. You might have a hammock out there or a lounge chair in the 1970s. Or maybe you're relegated to the garage, and you've got your fridge with the beer, and that's also there's oil stains everywhere. There's mosquitoes again, bugs, and it's hot out there in the garage, and the fan doesn't work. While your little wifey queen bee is inside the house in nice climate-controlled air conditioning, talking to her girlfriends about spending your last block of cash, while you're inside the garage plotting the overthrow of all the menacing people that are currently moving into your neighborhood and menacing you and your family, and maybe you're talking about immigration or politics with your man friends, and made men of the neighborhood, but that's how it is. I always drive by in many suburban areas in my convertible or SUV, and I'll look back and I'll see these guys. They're in the garage with the garage open. They have that forlorn look in their face, like they have shell shock from battle. And they're looking at, and their eyes light up when they see me, like, that's how I used to be. What the F happened? And I'll look at them and I'll tip my hat to them and go, hello, sir. Carry on, as I drive past them with my beverage in hand. And you drive by a suburbia, don't you always see the men in the backyard, or they'll be in the garage with the garage door open, staring blankly into space as if they just came from a battle? They are shell-shocked, boys. They have been through battle and back. And they realize that right now it's cheaper to keep her. I can't divorce the bitch I'm with. I've got to stay in the foxhole. I've got to stay in the fight. And that's how a lot of them are. Well, with that, let's get back to the phones. And let's get to Paul the Gladiator from his compound and bachelor pad somewhere in the north part of El Phoenix. Gladiator, glad to have you on board tonight. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, man. I'm in El Phoenix. El Phoenixo, Arizona.
Yes. El Phoenix, I call it. Si, senor. Mucho gusto. ¿Cómo estás? We're hearing more and more of that. We love our Hispanic brethren, but we also don't want an invasion, do we?
No, we're already invaded, but that's for another show.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
That's for Thursday's show. But tonight, man, we have a lot of topics. Which one do you want to dive into on the bachelor lifestyle in America? The floor is yours, my friend.
Well, you know my place. My home is definitely set up as a bachelor pad. You can't get more bachelor pad than your place than my place, you know?
Right.
I mean, where most people walk into the front door and they have their sofa and their TV, you know, that's their TV room, that great room in the house. That is my miniature Gold's Gym with some serious equipment. You can attest to that. And
yes.
So I don't even let people enter my front door. They have to come around to the side of the house, right?
Right.
And when they do that, They walk into a beautiful stone yard with an outdoor large TV. It's on Saturdays. It's the college football studio. On Sundays, it's the NFL studio out there. And then it's at night. It's enclosed as a maroon, darkened maroon movie studio with a nice sofa. And then on the other side, you got to have a built in the ground stone fire pit. Go down a couple of feet so you can just throw wood in there, make your mixed drinks, have a bucket of beers on ice, and have your drinks by the fire. Invite some friends over, have three or four seats available that are comfortable. And, you know, you got to live like a bachelor, man, if you're going to be a bachelor. You don't want to be, you don't want your house set up like a house for a family. You've seen my bedroom. You can make porn movies in my bedroom. You know,
with the, and mine too. Absolutely. As it should be, as it should be.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I can go mood lighting or I can put the spotlight on her. And the biggest, the most bold, biggest mirror covers a wall. And it has, you know, it's a full frame mirror, but it's gigantic. I mean, it's, you know, 6 foot wide by 7 foot tall. I mean, you know, you got to be able to have elements of that, you know, in your bachelor bedroom. In your bachelor home, you know, you don't want to have the regular kitchen table. You know, I have a nice high top with beautiful, large stools that are all different and unique. And, you know, you got to
have
these elements.
Yes, I like that.
You know, when a woman walks into my home, onto my property and in my home, she knows she's with a bachelor. You know, she drives up, she sees the foreign sports car in the driveway. She's walking on stone in the backyard. She's coming in the house, and she's like, wow, this is not your typical home, you know, and that's the way you got to have it. You know, I got all my collegiate football awards and the academic All-American and the All-American games, and you know, I want them to understand that I'm not your typical guy. You know, I'm not a divorcee with kids that I have to pay for. You know, it's not like I don't have expendable income. You know, you and I set our lives financially up correctly. And, you know, you and I have been from Main Street to Wall Street back operating our own and working in corporations and, I didn't know this was the IQ evening. Yeah, I didn't know this was the IQ evening, but I don't want to throw that out there. But, yeah, I'm not going to fall behind. So, you know, and plus, you know, being from living in New York City, you know, having the street smarts to go with all of the book academia smarts, you know, I always felt like I had the best of both worlds. And, you know, it takes hanging out with some Italians and some families to get the real street smarts. And luckily, you know, I was able to get that in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. They always appreciated where I came from. I appreciated what I could learn from them. So, guys, you know, no matter what your age, you can always learn from somebody. You know, I never threw into them the max academia that I had. You know, I let that be my secret. You know, they were always impressed with the football accolades, which got me into their graces, right? So you got to learn as a bachelor, you know, you got to learn how to zig and zag, and you have to have this yin and yang combination that you can always put together. So, you know, if I want to go to the, you know, to the $1,000 plate Scottsdale benefit and throw on my Bergdorf Goodman pinstripe suit, I'm going to fit right in there. But on the other side, you know, I could actually fit in with the beer and pizza crowd in the backyard at the big bonfire and I can talk with both of them. I can sell them both, you know, ice at the fire pit, and I can get them to raise money for a benefit. So, you know, you got to be able to have both sides of the world at your beck and call. And that, being a bachelor, is actually taking advantage of your position, because if you have the wife in a Momo and you've got the, you know, the two-door Chevy Escort going to the, you know, bargain basement stores to do your shopping, and you got, you know, two, three, four kids in tow, that's a completely different lifestyle than you and I lead, you know,
right.
with the convertible sports car, with the European sports car, with the, you know, the actual drippings that come with being a bachelor if you play it smart. Because you and I know bachelors who have nothing. They don't have a pot to piss in because they wasted
right.
their money. Right? I mean, you and I know a deep story about that. We'll get into that. But, you know, sometimes you offer help to those people in the form of financial help, you know, to let them work their way out of that. And they still don't make the right choices, right? So you got to make right decisions,
that's right.
the right choices. And, you know, you always want to be, as you get older, the guy with the bank account that can either buy his way in or have the woman scratching at your door to get into your life, because then you really don't owe them anything. They want to be in just to be next to you. So, you know, you want to be able to create your own destiny that way. And if you're in charge of your destiny, you're in charge of everything. Make the right choices for your diet. Make the right choices for your health. Be healthy. There's nothing you can have easier and better to make your future more comfortable than health. Then you get the
yes.
wealth. And if you can gain the wisdom all along the way, whether it's book wisdom or street wisdom or both, better if you can gain both, then you got the world by the balls. You want to be healthy, you want to be wealthy, and you want to have wisdom. Healthy, wealthy, and wise. If you can have that, then you are the 20 gold medal champion on this earth, and now you're in charge of your destiny. Now you're in charge of where you're going to go. And you now know the end result way in advance of the game that even starts. So that's the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy book. You know, it teaches you that in these young guys, if you have – you know, gentlemen, if you have a son in junior, senior in high school, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior in college, get the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy book, give it to them on their birthday or for Christmas, and tell them read that book 10 times minimum, and let them have the destiny of their own choosing rather than letting others choose their destiny for them. If that makes sense.
That makes total sense, Paul. And I love that rendition that you had there. And that is spot on, man. And the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, you're right. Guys, it's about calling the shots in your own life. You call the shots. You call your own shots for your own life. And you don't get demoralized by our fake news, and you don't give a rat's ass what society says. Society is screwed up. You going to listen to those people, those losers? Do you know society? They always say, well, society, screw society. Challenge it. And in college, like Paul was saying, you have your book smarts, you have your street smarts, and critical thinking skills that you learn in both of those genres. And you know, fight back against these people. Fight back against the powers that are aligned against you. Like I told you in the early monologue, sometimes they really are out to get you. They want you to do things of their bidding. I say no. You do things that you want to do, whether it's make a movie, write a book, start a business, travel, And you don't want to get bogged down with the first bitch you meet, to be blunt. First fat bitch that a lot of you guys meet, you fall in love for and you marry. And that's crazy. I mean, you're going to come home one day, she's going to be in a moo-moo eating bonbons. You're going to have three or four kids, and I'm sorry, you're toast. It's over. You ever played a video game? It says game over. And that's going to be your life. Don't want to live like that. And I agree, Paul. A lot of guys, they wake up one day and they say, what the hell happened? And I'll tell you what happened. You didn't buy my book. That's what happened. If you read the book, you would be a winner in life. Don't be a loser. Be a winner. And that's what the book teaches you guys. It's mentality, mind over matter. You don't have to go along with the Joneses. And by the way, the Joneses are all screwed up. That's a dysfunctional family. Why are you following them? Uncle Sam, the patriarch of our government, he's a dysfunctional uncle. He's always getting into wars that he can't pay for or fight or even win. Don't follow that guy. We love our country, but love your life even more, you know?
Yeah, Uncle Sam hates The Bachelor in America. And
yes, he does.
And if that's the case, I always want to be who the government hates, because that tells me I'm doing something right. I'm on the right side of
history.
Right. Because if they hate me, that means they're not making money on me. They're not directing where I go. They're not directing what I'm doing, because that's all they want to do is give directions, have people follow their orders. And if I'm not doing that and they don't like me, I'm in the right place at the right time.
I totally agree. Paul, thanks so much, man. Awesome call.
All right, man. You're welcome.
Have a great night.
You know, once in a while I get lucky.
Yes, we all do sooner or later, buddy. Awesome, awesome call there by Paul the Gladiator. Spot on comments. He's right. We talked about this and with the other callers as well, Irish Pirate and others, and over many cigars and drinks, that if Uncle Sam doesn't like you, that's actually a feather in your cap. That tells you verbatim that you're on the right track. You're doing what you need to do for you and for your domain and for your realm. You know, if you're Uncle Sam and he's a dysfunctional uncle, he is trillions of dollars in debt, in credit card debt. He owes every country. He can't win wars. He has a dysfunctional government. He's trying to restrict the bachelor's freedom and liberty and your pursuit of happiness enshrined in our Constitution. At the same time, there's a lot of people out there. Now, we love our country. We love our nation. We love our people. But I use it as a symbol that if he's against you, yeah, you're doing something right, all right. He's not making money off you. That's what he's pissed off about. He can't F you and screw with you. That's what he's pissed off about. You're not contributing to his debt. You're not contributing to his war machine, maybe. Maybe you're not contributing to his taxes or his blunders. Remember, Uncle Sam is miserable, and misery loves company. Didn't your mother ever tell you that? Good old smart mom. Boy, my parents were smart as a whip. And they had the book smarts and the street smarts. My mother went to the University of North Dakota. North Dakota girl. Boy, I like those farm girls, always have. When I went to Purdue, I had lots of farm girls. And they're cool. They're very cool. They know when to get down. They know when to work. My father was in the U.S. Air Force, got his college degree in the Air Force, to the University of Maryland, which was the collegiate test at that time. My dad didn't need college, but he got it as a formality to rise in the ranks. He was what they called a statistician. My dad trained the bomber pilots, knew all about avionics and how to bomb the enemy to smithereens, and he's trained the bomber pilots, but he was never a pilot, never had his wings. He was so good at what he did, they go, come with me, young man. When he aced his test, and he was put through all these special programs, and he used to brief the generals on numbers, attrition, things of that nature in Vietnam, in Saigon, Air Force headquarters, and things of that nature. Now, my dad had a wild bachelor career. which you told me about, which I'm kind of getting to. My dad was a bachelor until age 32. Now, in his era, being 32, you were kind of an old man. They used to call you the old man. Hey, can you believe that? Because people aged so fast back then, the life was so short. Most people died in their late 50s and 60s. We're living now 20 years, 25, 30 years longer today. But my dad met my mother, and he told me, he said, son, I was a wild and crazy bachelor on the Air Force bases, but when I met your mother, everything changed. And, you know, in life happens to people. They met in Tripoli, Libya, of all places, on the Air Force base there when we conquered that part of the world back in the days of Eisenhower. Met my mom there in the late 50s, magical time. And they used to walk the Roman ruins of the shores of Tripoli in the Marine Corps hymn and all the romanticism of the beaches there and the Roman ruins and many candlelight moonlit nights. Well, they used to make out by the Roman ruins, which I thought was really cool. And they married three times. They married Libya to leave the country. They went to London. They married there. And they married when they came to the States. My point in saying this is that my dad had a great bachelor career. And he said, if I hadn't met your mother's son, I shouldn't tell you this, but I would have stayed a bachelor had I not met your mother. My mother, again, is that special woman, Weldon. It was the 1950s. What did people do? They fell in love and they started families. And that's normal. That's natural. Today, though, things are a lot different. You fast forward to 2021. We're almost now in Mad Max America. We're now living in Pax Americana, foreign policy analysts tell us. A lot of crazy things out to there, for sure. Cool band in LA. They sent me a tape. They're called Austin Powers Bachelor Pad. They heard the show. They dug it. I get people send me things all the time. MP3s, emails, some CDs come in the mail once in a while too. If you're out there, if you have a band or you're in the media or entertainment, call the show. Send me what you got. We might even put it on the air if you're lucky. And I'm sure you will be lucky because it's going to be your lucky night, boys. For the rest of our lives, stay single as long as you can and make that money and be a winner in life. Don't let these turkeys get you down. I keep telling you that, but it's true. Now, we talked about last week the $10 coffee date. That's the Von Weehunt special. That's the Von Weehunt way. This is the advanced class, boys. In college, there was your entry-level class was the 100, maybe 202. This is 303, advanced bachelor class. You guys are working hard out there. I know you are. You can't afford $30, $40 is recommended for a date by some of these weird websites. Screw that. My God, that's like 2 hours of labor. No. Let me bring it down for you. The bachelor calls the shots. We're going to meet the girl that you meet at a coffee shop, someplace public, Starbucks, internet cafe, maybe a fast food joint, buy her some coffee, tea, soda, beer, wine, whatever. A casino bar is great because sodas are free. You can lounge around the Barca loungers and give the girl $1 and leave and see one. Do you click? You met her online. That doesn't mean anything. People have fake profiles, are notorious for fake pictures and dated pictures. You really got to meet these women in the flesh, mano to mano. So when you meet her, now you can size her up. Now you can pick her brain. What are you looking for, baby? What's going on? Talk to me, right? So that's what I say, the $10 date max. Meet her out for an hour or two. First of all, see if you click. If you click, great. You'll have date number 2 and 3 and 4. But if you don't, you got nothing invested, maybe an hour of your time and a little bit of gas, you can break free and move on down the road. Again, you got the concept of neck in your brain. The next girl, the next job. Don't settle for less, guys. And that's how you do that. And beware, as I told you before, of the women dating for dinner. So a lot of women that will bat their eyelashes at you, and they'll always say, oh, gosh, I love that restaurant. Everything's, I love their menu. Don't fall for that common female dining and dating scam, guys. She is suddenly starving and famished the minute you get in your car and the minute you pass by a restaurant. She's a foodie. She won't tell you that, but it's amazing, isn't it? She says, I want to go to places and do things. Like my dad used to say, never buy a woman a drink or a dinner unless you are banging her or having sex of some kind. Otherwise, to be blunt, it's like hanging out with your platonic female friends in college or high school. You know the type, Mrs. Boring, the type of girls who don't want to do anything with you. They just want to, drumroll please, be friends. And then you as the bachelor, you're in the dreaded friend zone. And once a woman puts a man in the friend zone, it's like prison, emotional prison. You will never leave the friend zone. In her mind, you're a friend and a friend only. You will never be a sex partner. Women do not cross-pollinate on that level at all. I've known too many. There's friends to them, and there are lovers. You want to be the rogue male lover to her. You don't want to be her friend. You can have a friend. If you want a friend, get a dog, okay? Get a couple of dogs. You get a couple of friends. And dogs will give you unconditional love. And you know how I know that? Because I have a dog. And I want to get 2 or 3 maybe. But Panzer, my dog, is just wonderful. I have her trained very, very well. Now, back in college, in my young buck days, I would drop those girls like a hot potato the minute I sensed I was in the friend zone. I go, nope, she's not my cup of tea. She might be a pretty thing, and some guys will hang out with those girls because they feel it makes her stock rise, because they'll say, look at this hot chick on my arm, and I go, I would look at them street style, Italiano style, and go, but are you banging her? Are you with her? If you're not with her, you never had her. Remember that, guys. So those guys would hem-haw around and say, well, we're not doing that. We're just friends right now. That's what I thought. So don't put on these airs that you're with her and you're sleeping with her, because you're not. Just say she's your friend. So a lot of guys play this game where they walk in with the prettiest girl in the class or whatever, and she'll be just a platonic relationship. The girl knows it. The guy's trying to impress his friends. Don't fall for that scam. It is what it is. Also, don't let the woman think of you as her ATM personal machine or ATM provider. She will suck you dry financially and not in a good way either, to be honest. There's lots of things to talk about in our toxic dating system out there. It's just amazing what you guys put up with. Another thing I want to get into is you guys put up with more crap than I would. It's just amazing to me how much crap men put up with. I go to a store, I hear the woman screaming at them. It could be a wife or a girlfriend. Then I'm going, why are you putting up with this? Unbelievable. But you guys do. You guys just suck it up. You lap it up. You think it's some of you guys, I think, are gluttons for punishment. You just love it, love it, love it. I see you yelled at. I see you berated. It's embarrassing to me. I can't imagine how you feel. Are you that much of a bitch boy that you got to be with somebody? It's that important to be with somebody who is making a fool out of you in public? I was at a restaurant last week, saw this lady yell at her husband and say, you know, you don't love me enough and you don't do this, a big scene. And I'm rolling my eyes going, this is precisely why I'm not married, because of this. And the guy that sat there, you know, looked down sheepishly like a good sheep, and she was lashing out at him. And I'm going, dude, I would have walked up and said, bitch, you pay the bill. I'm out of here. Goodbye. And get up and walk out and go home and then put her stuff in the front lawn. That's how it used to be back in the old days. But all you guys now just suck it up. And you've been conditioned. This is what Uncle Sam, the dysfunctional uncle, wants. He wants you to keep working two or three jobs. He wants you to keep paying those taxes. Don't you know married guys work more and they normally die sooner than bachelors? Why? Because they're working two or three jobs to pay all the damn bills. The bachelor takes 1 or 2 months off a year, like a European vacation, like a month in Rome. You know, but you married guys, you take abuse from your boss, from your wife. Now, there are some good marriages. There are some things you're not going to bash at all. But I see enough of it where I just roll my eyes and go, man, I know my dad wouldn't have put up with that. First of all, my mother had more sense to not do those things. But some of these guys, I think, would feel better if they were a little more macho. Maybe if they had a manly cologne. Numero uno cologne.
Numero uno.
Four men on a search. Each man different, living his own way, searching, discovering numero uno, the new thing in colognes for men. In all the world, there are only four basic masculine scents. Here's the best of each. Numero uno gold. Numero uno green. Numero uno red. Numero uno silver. Four numero uno colognes. All different. All wild. Find yours with the searcher kit. A jigger of each scent. Then get a full-size bottle of the one that makes it for you.
Numero uno.
God, I love that commercial. Numero uno cologne. So you guys need to get a splash of that before you get out on the town. My God. Here's some information that I thought you'd find interesting as well. The hardest part of being a bachelor is warding off the bloodthirsty society, which we've talked about, and married relatives and friends, especially for you younger guys, who they keep constantly pestering you to get married. They're a pest. They keep, you know, tapping your shoulder as if there are no more important topics in the world or your life to discuss with you than when will you get married? What problem do you have in getting married? Do you have a heart attack? Did any girl dump you and whatnot? And why aren't you married today? They are what I call a broken record people. They have one tune and one tune only, and they play it over and over again. People, they just can't simply let us be. They don't seem to be able to accept the fact that there are some humans on this planet, God forbid, who do not want to join them and live in marriage or enslavement just to get blended in the crowd like a number like everybody else, and they do not feel the need to adhere to society's expectations. We say screw society. Remember, we're the rebels. We're the deplorables. We're the rogue bachelor. When I came out west, I was the rogue West Coast bachelor of my family. Oh, my God. My brother was married. My sister was married. And I was coming up, and I was the rogue West Coast bachelor, and here I am now with the radio show. Now, apart from this, there are hardly any problems if you're living as a bachelor. Married guys have far more problems than bachelors. That's why they're envious of you. That's why they're trying to cock block you. They're trying to screw you over in business. Married guys stick together. Bachelors tend to be independent, which is good and bad. But married guys go, hey, you know, if you're having too much fun, they want to work you more. In other words, misery loves company, as we said before. You know, they'll say things like, hey, you know, if you get sick, there may not be anyone around you to take care of you when you get older, blah, blah, blah. Every guy I've ever known has never had a wife take care of him. It's always the man taking care of the wife. First of all, let's get that straight. Also, the facts are that most people die alone. I just hate to say it's true. You're not going to be surrounded by your family with a B. You're not going to be surrounded by your doting kids or wife in tow and your three dogs. That is a Norman Rockwell painting. I wish it was true, but it's not true. Most people die alone in a nursing home or in their home. Things happen. They fall, whatever the case is. It's tragic, but it's just a truism to life like death and taxes. So get that. Let's get that straight, too. And so the list goes on and on if you start talking to people. But the bottom line is that, in my view, I think bachelor life rocks, and there is still no reason I see to trade it for what seems like a lifetime of slavery. Because, again, married men take a vow of poverty, and everything they do and all the money they make from that moment on goes towards the family and the nest. Remember, when you have children, which is a great thing for some guys to do, a lot of men want to be fathers. I was always optional. To me, I could go either way. It all depends on the woman to me. If you meet the right woman, then I would have no problem with it. But if you don't meet again, key distinction, a young woman of childbearing age. I met a lot of women who were older, who were cougars and whatnot when I was coming up, but they were done with kids and they weren't of childbearing age to start a family, right? Family. So in saying that, you got to find the right girl at the right time. Life, like they say, is all about timing and meeting the right people. And I think you're far better off in life without all the drama and problems and expense. Marriage today is a very expensive proposition. My book talks about it, and it's not anti-marriage at all. It's pro-bachelor, but I say if you guys want to get married, then be the best dad you can be, the best father, the best husband, whatever the case is. But let's be honest, in today's society, it's a very dicey game. And it's a very big financial burden. Men today, that's why I said fathers are saints. They are saints to put aside their bachelor career and march down the aisle and take this level of toil and obligation and burden. They take it very seriously. They are committed to it, and I respect that. I do respect it. It's not for everybody. In our society today, those guys are martyrs in many, many ways. They are the saints, in other words. They give up a lot to do this. And so that's why mothers are almost expected to be mothers, right, young women. But fathers are a whole different breed. Fathers are men that decide they want to be a father, as in Austin Powers, a fazer. So it's a whole different game, man. And you know, we got some more callers that are lined up here. We'll get to Brett the Surfer momentarily. But first, we've got to hear the official song by the Runaways. I think you'll dig it.
Hello, world, I'm your royal.
I want every woman to be a cherry bomb while I wear my Numero Uno cologne. When I drive my LeBaron convertible with its fine Corinthian leather around town, that's high living, boys. High living. Steaks at the country club. The bachelor eats steak and lobster. The married man is lucky if he gets hamburger helper. Maybe In-N-Out Burger once in a while. It's a West Coast franchise for you Missouri boys. But it is what it is. Now, really good wives are like unicorns, they say, a mythical animal that many say exists. But personally, I have never seen one. Good wives like unicorns are very few and far between. The man who really, truly believes he's found a good wife is still taking a huge gamble on his future happiness. But we want everyone to be happy, men and women alike. We believe in the pursuit of happiness. As a young man, young boy in school, I always noticed the U.S. Constitution. And I, this is unlike our students of today, I actually read it. And I go, I really dig these founding father guys. They're talking about freedom, liberty, life, you know, life itself, the pursuit of my happiness. I thought, wow, what a wonderful country I was born into. I won the lifetime lottery. I'm a young male in America. Good family, good stock, German Italiano stock. I sat there and I went, wow. Now, most, I don't know if everybody else had the same epiphany, but I used to read things. I was a voracious reader. I couldn't, everything I touched, I wanted to read it. I was big in sports too and stuff, but we always played track and baseball and football and everything. And but my thing was, I sat there and I went, wow, what a neat country. These guys, 200 and back then, 220, 30 years ago, were thinking of me. They were thinking of me. They were saying, hey, as the country progresses, as there's new families and new people and new neighborhoods spring up, we want everyone to have life, liberty, freedom. Now, we don't see that today in Australia, do we, in their lockdown, or New Zealand, which has gone dark. But in America, America is always a special place. And I said, well, I can do anything I want here. I have the freedom to do it. And that, I thought, was really, really cool. I don't think my schoolmates had the same grasp of it as I did, but I really put myself in their minds, and I went, wow, if I was Ben Franklin, George Washington in 1776, these guys are sitting around the campfire talking about the stuff and the various taverns of the colonies on the British rule, and they were talking about the future America, what it's going to look like. Well, I say fast forward to today, a man can be anything he wants. You don't have to go on with society's predictive programming. Break the mold. Break it. Okay? Smash it. Like Trump, a bull in a china shop right there in D.C. Smash this stuff. Challenge it. But I just sat there in amazement and wonder in class, and I used to love hearing about how the country got formed, how it got initiated. And I thought, man, am I lucky. Here I am, and I'm a young buck, and the sky is the limit. I have no clue where I'm going to end up or what's going to happen. I had a big idea where I was going to be. I always knew I was going to end up out west. I always believed in that axiom. My history prof would always say, go west, young man, go west. There, and only there, you'll find your fame and fortune. And I believe that. That's why I'm out here. Well, I could say this too, that, you know, there have been guys that have called the show and written the show before. And one man said this. He says, on one hand, Vaughn, there were plenty of times during my marriage that I faced the same loneliness as I did as a bachelor. When I stopped to meditate on it a little, I realized it is far easier, far, far easier, he says, to deal with the loneliness than it is to have gotten married, only to find out that one has hooked himself up with a crazy borderline biatch. One who did a first-class job of hiding and concealing her true self before the marriage. Being single and occasionally lonely is far superior and better than being married, miserable, and lonely. And that, my friends, is in my book, too. on many fronts. Now, we love playing some music here. We've got Brett the Surfer, who's surfing off the coast of Bachelor Castle tonight. But before I bring him on, to get him really in the mood, we're going to play a tune here that the Irish Pirate sent me, one of my great, lovely fun packs. It's called Danger Island.
Love it.
Danger Island, the Atomic Mosquitoes. Sea Irish Pirate,
oh, yeah.
I do play what you send me. I love his fun packs,
good,
man. This is a great tune that I discovered. Mm-hmm.
Surfing off of Bachelor Island. Yeah, just, looking out there, remembering the days.
Bachelor Island is synonymous with Danger Island. And you're a married, happily married man. You had a wild bachelor career. And, again, this show is open for all folks. And let's hear how things are. Again, I know you are. You have a great family, some great boys. And what's new with you, man? What's happening?
Oh, just enjoyed the nice rain out here, being out in the Southwest. And rain and blue sky. I mean, there's nothing better, you know, and out on a wave. But I love that blue sky when there's rain coming down on part of the sky. Then you have sun, you know, you see the blue sky and the sun kind of peeking out, but you still have rain. That's kind of what we had today. So I was really appreciative of that. And just to be alive, man, just celebrating life and listen to your show.
Love it, man. Well, you know, on a Tuesday night, there's nothing better to do in America, folks, than to listen to the Von Weehunt Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy show. I mean, come on, it's a Tuesday night. You're going to watch some more fake news, watch more cable crap that they're pushing. And by the way, every Hollywood sitcom and TV show, they always poke fun at The Bachelor. They make him look small. They diminish men. These Hollywood shows make the men in America look terrible. Why are you guys even paying for a cable bill? Seriously. You're paying them to demoralize you. Do you realize that? That's the definition of insanity. To keep doing the same thing over and over again, paying the cable bill and hoping for a different result. I mean, everything, that's why I cut cable. Yeah, the same result. I cut cable about 10 months a year. I go seasonal. I only really watch cable, actual cable, because I don't even want it in my house. I'm too busy. I just don't even want it, period. People say, well, we can. I don't want it. You don't get it. To me, it's like garbage coming in. You know, unless you're watching a sports game, maybe. But, I mean, I can get more entertainment.
Yeah, and you get these new TVs. I picked up a Samsung, and like 60, 65-inch, and it streams about 1,000 channels. It's pretty amazing. So, really, you don't even need cable, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But even those shows are still – produced by a lot of the, you know, Hollywood people. And again, we love Hollywood. We love some things about it. But let's be honest, they do have an agenda and an axe to grind, which we've talked about before on the Thursday show. They're very anti-bachelor is what I'm trying to say. They're very, they can be at times anti-male. They talk a big, big game. But, and again, I tell guys, you're watching hours of this stuff, hundreds of hours. So be careful. So no wonder you get to age 18 or 20 and you're taught all these fatalistic attitudes where you can't do anything. It's almost like you're in a mental straitjacket. I'm trying to break you out of that and go, screw these people. F them. Do what you want to do. Be who you want to be. Like the Army says, be all you can be, man. Yes, you can invade that country. Just follow us and Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want to do, guys. Be positive.
And everybody has their own path, their own way, and you need to think independently. It's about, I was taught to think independently and not to come out and have group think, and I think that's an important thing, and that's the strength of
it's a great point.
That's really the way to be. By the way, there is a channel that's 24/7 surfing. I recommend everybody check out that station. It's actually, if you're streaming, it's station 1173, and that's 24 hours surfing all over the world.
Oh, kick ass. I love to watch surfers. I love those
surf
channels.
Movies too. Like
Wednesday,
and new surf movies, documentaries, all kinds of stuff.
Now that's some really cool bachelor programming right there. Yeah. Do they play some cool surf songs?
They've got the most original surf tunes you can ever think of and places you would never imagine that people would be surfing, that's something you can watch anytime, and you won't be brainwashed. You'll be brainwashed. If you are brainwashed into that, God bless you. That's the best brainwash you probably ever experienced.
Right, exactly. Oh, I love it, man. I love it. That's awesome. So you've heard a little bit of the show tonight. What are your comments about the show or the past callers, man? What do you dig?
I think everybody has their own path. I think they've got some great points and true points. And, I heard about when you were talking about people that are married, and the loneliness. Now, I think that's true for a lot of people. And if you're alone, even if you're a bachelor, whether you're a bachelor or a married person, it's all about what's in you too. Are you going to be lonely or is the glass half empty? Is it half filled? So in either situation, you could be a bachelor and be miserable. You could be a bachelor and be just on cloud nine, and top of the world. You could be married and be miserable. You could be married and feel like a trillion bucks, So that's you got a lot of good points and a lot of truth and there are
very
different ways of thinking.
I think
everybody has their own way of thinking and figuring things out, So that's my opinion, my humble
that.
Opinion.
Well, I like your humble opinion, Brett.
Yeah. Well,
in fact, that's very Zen of you. What Zen is? It's that New Age religion. It's very Zen. It really is true. There's many ways to the mountaintop. I just think getting there in a James Bond boat or in Moonraker is the best way to get there, because James Bond was the quintessential bachelor in America and the UK. 007, right? License to Kill.
Yeah.
Shaken, not stirred. Pussy galore, Brett.
I'm excited about the new James Bond. So I'm going to be one of the first.
Yes, my tie-in to the new James Bond movie, No Time to Die. I love that. Yeah, because really, we have no time to die. We must live. There's an old saying, either get busy living or get busy dying. And I say get busy living because, we want to stay alive where we can thrive. And be an animal out there, guys. Be an animal. When you hit the bar scene, be an animal. Work the room like I did. I had no fear. I'd walk up to any girl and start talking to her. You go, how do you do that, man? I would do it just without a beer in my hand. Just do it. The thing I here's the secret, guys, to going out. And, Brett, I think you'll concur with this. When you hit a bar or a lounge, here's the secret. The bachelor secret. I have many in my vault. The minute you hit the door, you effing own that place. And you don't mince words or pull any punches, and you immediately start working the room. Not to where you're crazy, but you work the room. And everyone will be watching you and noticing your cat moves in a bar or lounge. And you instantly do that. If you walk in and analyze the situation and want to survey it for an hour and then do that, never works. Never works. Because they've already noticed you sitting down. And with the women, it's called the three-second rule. The minute you see a woman, you better talk to her in 3 seconds or she thinks you're a loser. In other words, she's like, I'm here. I'm hot. What guys are going to talk to me? It's always, who's going to talk to me is how she thinks. Well, you talk to her. And you, you hit on her. You can always come back if she shoots you down. But you do it immediately when you hit the bar. That is the secret. You don't lollygag around. You don't wait in life. Remember, you get busy living or you get busy dying. Now, there's times for you walk into maybe a date lounge where it's more demure, you know, softer light, maybe some Frank Sinatra. That's a whole different scene. But I'm talking about your basic bar, club, whatever. You walk in, you work through, you walk in like you own the place.
That's,
you know,
exactly
my dad
right.
used to tell me, brother, he goes, you boys walk into the mall like you own the damn place. I go, well, Dad, I do. Because in my mind, I did. I own the joint. I own the joint. What are you gonna do about it? But he used to sit there and just smile and just go, you know, chip off the old block, right?
That's
but
right.
Anyway,
that's right.
Love that stuff.
It's all about your attitude.
Well, Brett, what are your big plans for the fall, man? You're a Fozzer. You're going to be doing some things, I'm sure, with the kids in tow. Hmm?
Oh yeah. I've got the old T-ball, soccer, and many other events. You know, the beach down in
your calendar is getting full.
Oh, it's full. It's full, man. But you know,
now
does
your wife
choice.
Relegate
it's
you
choice.
To the right? Now, oh, Brett, does your wife relegate you to the garage or the backyard yet? I need to know.
No, that this situation is equality. So there's none of that. I don't have any of that. But I do have my place. I do have my office, my cave.
This
I do.
Put it out there. Way to go, Brett. You're holding the line.
Yes.
You're an inspiration to us all. That's great, man.
Well, I hope so. I hope so, Bon. I'm holding the ground. Yeah.
Hold that ground, soldier. Hold that ground. You have a right to your house. You have a right to live within the walls of your house. Don't you ever forget that.
Exactly.
You got to fight for your right to party, man. We got to fight for our right to party. Everyone's trying to stop us from having a good time. We've talked about this even on our serious Thursday show, right? But it's true. They're always trying to stop us from having a good time. We have to beat the matrix, guys. We got to beat the system. It's stacked against you. I'm telling you, be careful out there. In more ways than
you gotta
one.
Always be. Always
Brett, thanks
be
for the
aware.
Call, man. What are your final thoughts
to
the Bachelor Castle tonight?
I just rock on. And you know, I am, that's what I've got to say. And I hope also, I think we should all hope that they can get that oil spill out in Southern California, which is a big area. I love to head out and surf. And, but I hope they get that cleaned up. You know, I hope a lot of bachelors get out there and maybe help clean
damn
up.
Damn right.
But, all right, Vaughn.
Get that beach
one,
cleaned
but
up,
you
bitches. Brett's got to surf. Brett, thanks so much, man.
All right, bro.
Yeah, get that beach cleaned up, guys. My God, the Bikini Bays aren't out there. They closed down the beach. No surfing, no rock and roll. Come on. Well, until then, we have the show, of course. And I think tonight we'll go into a bit of overtime here. But as the women always say, it's another day and another man.
Another day, another man. This is the story of women who thought they earned their money the easy way, only to find that they had to pay for their sins. Sex Without Shame. See Lust. Raw Naked Violence. In the boldest and most intimate scenes ever shown on any screen. In Another Day, Another Man. These are the women who fight for their men, where another man means another dollar. They have no scruples. They're corrupt and immoral. As their passions run riot, they live only for the excitement of each day. For the pleasures of each night. If you want to see a film that strips away all conventions, that dares to tell all, then you must see Another Day, Another Man.
Guys, love that. Another Day, Another Man. Every woman knows that every man means another dollar for her. Classic. Well, we're in some official overtime now for the show. Just some things to bring aboard here. When you call the show, just know that on this show, we will talk about all things which affect the man's life today. Now, we know a lot of you guys hit the podcast, and so you will hear every bit of this. Because about half our listeners get the podcast and not the live show. Maybe it's more like 60-40, but still, it's a lot of people. Whether it be chicks, dating, relationships, working out, diet, sex, God forbid, vice, the law, the economy, politics, the court system in America, child support, kids, the nuclear family, traditional life versus the wild and hedonistic bachelor life, pros and cons, work, war, and peace, and everything else in between. When you call the show, have an angle. Know your story or quote or call. And know how it pertains to the Bachelor of America today. Call in with a nickname. I love nicknames. You never use your real name on the show because we're afraid of you being surveilled by the surveillance police state. Whether the man is never married, just divorced, or thinking of it as a MGTOW way to go forward in life. And by the way, MGTOW means men going their own way. Rest assured, we will cover a lot of ground in this show. People have asked me for years, where in the hell did I get the inspiration to write the book in the first place, or even for this radio show? Well, let me tell you the ways. How many of you remember the Art Bell Show on Coast to Coast Radio? or even the great Tom Leica show on LA radio that went to other nationwide markets for a while. These are my early radio influencers. And there was Blow Me Up Tom and other callers about talking many of these same issues. Years ago, I thought there's got to be books on bachelordom in America. Well, I actually went to bookstores, and I would walk in and ask the manager, do you have any books on bachelordom? Well, they would pull out a cheap, cheesy book on how to decorate the bachelor college dorm, or maybe a bachelor cookbook with some guy sipping a martini, stuff like that. Kind of cool, kind of kitschy. But there was never a book like mine that went down the rabbit hole. And so a lot of guys played it safe, and they stayed on the cursory edges. And they go, well, I'll just write a book about the bachelor barbecue, or the frat party bachelor, how to decorate your dorm room or your frat room. Things like that. There's books out there like that. But I said, man, no one's ever written a book in America, seriously, about the bachelor, the bachelor's guide, if you will, to the galaxy. I was amazed. I thought for sure there'd be at least four or five books. Zero books like mine. Mine's the only book in its genre. It's labeled under social science, actually, social sciences. And the bookstores, and they go, no one's ever written a book about that. I said, isn't there a book about men and women and relationships and things of that? No man ever took the time. I am the first man in the history of the world, in recorded history, who ever wrote a book about the bachelor in America, or really the world. This book could be sold in any nation, in multiple languages, and I'm just amazed, to be honest with you, that though I've pitched the book to many media people, many show interest, but I've been asked, can you put me on TV? Can you do this? They show interest. I might get to a program director, and then it falls flat. In other words, they don't buy in. And that really is a testament to what the book's about to begin with. American society is not designed for the bachelor. We are the rogue bachelor wolves out there in society. They don't want to promote this. It's very obvious to me. We are the elite. We are the tip of the spear. We are not what they want to emulate, what they want to promote. What they want to promote are young men that are dumbed down. You'll be compliant. We see this with the mask, don't we, and all the COVID stuff, and all that BS. So they want you compliant. They don't want you thinking for yourself. And that's what they want. And that's what they're going to promote. And what do you see? You see all these talk shows about these young guys on board, all the baby mama drama. And they have five kids from five different women. And they're 18 to 30. And their life's a mess. And they never finished college. They can't find a job. They don't know what they want to be when they grow up. And that's where they want you guys. Keep saying that's where they want you. They want you confused. They want you disoriented. They don't want you to think for yourself. They don't want you to have any critical thinking skills. They don't want you to strike out on your own in business. God forbid. You know, we are heading towards a kind of a socialistic soft communism in America. Being compliant is the new religion. That's the new religion. Are you compliant? Can you obey orders? And I say, to hell with all that. There's a time and a place for that, too. But my point is, you guys got to break that mold. I've told you a million times, you got to be thinking on your feet, thinking for yourselves, because they just, are not going to help you there. And you really got to get, like my parents used to say, if you want to be educated about all things in life, you have to get your own education. You got to get your own education, because they're just not going to help you in anything. And I found that to be very, very true. And I think you all know it's true, too. Well, a lot of you guys are going to join the military. A lot of you guys are going to be out there as troops, you know, for Uncle Sam in America. And we all support our military. We want you guys to be safe and be well. But when you're out there at these foreign ports of call, remember, your mother only lets you spend $5 for pleasure. The women at the military bases will tell you guys they will love you long time, so just expect that. And just remember that your mother and father only gave you $5 to spend. So when she asks for 10, you offer her 5. That's a lesson from Von Weehunt tonight. My gosh. We had a few callers that called in earlier, and I guess they dropped. Folks, if you're new, you can always call the show, but remember, you got to stay on board, because sometimes we have other calls in front of you, things of that nature, and, of course, it is what it is, right? So we'll always try to get you new callers on the air. Now, the next show will be Thursday night. Every Thursday, 8 to 10, is our hard-hitting political show. We have some fun on that show as well. It's a little more serious. We're a bit farther down the rabbit hole, if you will. And so tonight we'll end the show with a few things that I want to mention. And just know, you heard tonight from some great calls. We heard from the Irish Pirate, Paul the Gladiator, Brett the Surfer. You heard from me. You heard some good promos, some funny things. Now, you will need all the tools in my book going forward in life to be a success. You will have to navigate the minefield of life, as I told you. And this book, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, will show you how, step by step. The book may look thick, but the font is somewhat large, and you can get through the book, guys. I know you can. Very easy. Read a few pages every night, like I said. And rest assured, we back you. We support you on the show. A lot of you guys are just starting out. We have a lot of Zoomers, I think, and millennials that have listened into the show. And a lot of you guys are out there. And we know you are, because I can tell by the data I get from the show. We have people that listen from all over the country. All states have listened. We're in many countries that listen. And they also listen to this show plus the political show. So this is our show on the wild and hedonistic bachelor life. Tonight you heard a lot of great things. Take them to heart. Think about your lives. Think about what you're doing out of there. The Las Vegas Lounge Lizards, known as the Rat Pack of Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., and others, Peter Lawford, etc. That was the era of their time. You got to be a man of your own era in time. You can be a swinging bachelor. You can be a bachelor on the make. And you can do what you want to do in life. Set your mind to it. Don't take no for an answer, boys. And like that great scene of Alec Baldwin and Glenn Ross, ABC, always be closing. And with that, we'll close the show tonight. Thank you all for being here. They broadcast from the Bachelor's Den with cigar in my hand and cocktail. And the bar is always open in the Bachelor's Den of America. Thank you all. God bless. Stay safe out there. Have those adult beverages and drinks ready. And chase those skirts, boys. Have fun in life. And don't let these people get you down. They damn well try. We support you. We know you're out there. You're one of us in the fraternity and the Bachelor's Den. Thank you so much for my castle on the Rhine. We will meet again in 2 days. I promise you. Good night.